Let us pray. And Father, may we always remember, and may we always be focused on your love and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We're grateful for that. Guide us in all that we do and say. We thank you in Jesus. Today, we're going to continue in our series this summer. As many of you know, the series that we do is entitled You Asked For It. And we focus on the topics that you have chosen, that you and the church have chosen. And so today is actually on spiritual warfare. Now, next week, a question was asked about when they were disputing over the body of Moses. So some people are asking some questions about that. And then we're going to talk about mental illness. What does the Bible say about mental illness? That's going to be in 2 weeks. And then the next one's going to be on can you lose your salvation? So those are various topics that we're going to be talking about. Then we get into the fall season. And believe it or not, get ready for Christmas. Somebody's going, yeah, presents, here we go. All right, we're ready to go already. So, what? Am I still having problems? No, it's plugged in. How's that? Am I plugged in now? Still no? Modern technology. How's that? I had to turn it off, turn it back on. That's what you do to your computers. Doesn't work? Kill the thing. So, aren't you glad your computers don't have flesh and blood? We'd both be all in jail for murder. Okay, so spiritual warfare, we're going to talk about that today. And I want you to take your Bibles. And by the way, if anyone finds my Bible around here, let me know where it's at. With all the stuff that's been moved, I don't know where it's at right now. So, but I want you to turn to, I already looked back there. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 18 through 20. That's going to be the primary scripture that we're going to be looking at today. But we have a secondary scripture that I want to look at. Don't turn to it, but this is in Daniel chapter 10. And what was going on? Let me give you a little background. Daniel had a vision or a dream that had so disturbed him that he was asking the Lord for, what does this mean? And he went into prayer and fasting, and for 3 weeks he went into prayer and fasting, and for 3 weeks he never got the answer to it. And then it says this in Daniel chapter 10, we're going to start at verse 10. He said, he was down, he was praying, and he said, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. So basically a hand touched him, down he went. Okay? He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words that I am about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this, he said, I stood up trembling. And I think you would too. If an angel of God came and touched you, and you would probably stand up and be trembling a little bit. I went this past week, Polly and I and some of you went to the Lake Fest pageant that was out there. By the way, if you don't know, Malia Lee won the Outstanding Teen Award. So she is the Miss Outstanding Teen Lake Fest gal. But I don't know about you, but I felt so sorry for those gals that were up there, because the first couple questions, they literally, their knees, you could see it all the way in the back, their knees were trembling so much. And I could just imagine that happening to me. If an angel of God had touched me, I think I would be startled, and I'd probably be trembling a little bit as well. So he says, and I stood up trembling. And then he said, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come as a response to them. So for 3 weeks, Daniel had been praying and fasting. But this is what it says. He says, immediately on that point, when you asked for the wisdom, God heard your prayer. And I want you to know that when you pray, God immediately hears your prayer. It is before him at that point. And so, but God answers it many different ways. Yes, no, wait, not your way, my way. There's very different ways that he answers them. Then he goes on and says this, verse 13. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. So we're getting a little bit of a view into the spiritual realm right now. So the message was to come, but he had this kind of a spiritual mini battle that was happening, and he was resisted. Finally, this angel asked for Michael, the archangel's help, and he came, and they were able to plow through. I'm going to answer you the question right now. I don't know why. Okay? There's a lot of things in scriptures you just don't know. If God is more powerful, why did it take 21 days? How come the, you know, all those questions. I don't know. And that's one of the things you're going to learn about me as a pastor. I'm going to tell you the truth. If I don't know, I don't know. Okay? Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future and the vision that concerns a time yet to come. Okay, we're going to stop there. So here you have this view into the spiritual realm. I think if your eyes were truly open, and you would see what's happening in the spiritual realm right now, you would be amazed. Some people think, well, this is a church building, a demonic activity can't come in here, demons can't go. Oh yeah, where does it say that in scripture? I think there would be a spiritual battle that you could just only imagine that might be happening around us at this point. Okay, so, and throughout scriptures you see that. I mean, there's a vision or a vision where a servant of Elisha had his eyes open and he saw he was being protected by chariots of fire. All those things. And I think we would be truly amazed. So let's go to our primary scripture passage, 1 Timothy chapter 1. So here you have Timothy. Timothy is a young pastor, was given the church of Ephesus that he was supposed to lead. We're not quite sure what his age would be, but we're thinking he might have been between the ages of 18 and 22, maybe even younger than that. But they had prophesied over Timothy, and he was to be the leader of that church. When Polly and I started our ministry, I was 22 years old, and Polly became a pastor's wife at the age of 19. How's that for a job for her? By the way, here you go, you're now a pastor's wife. And primarily what they did to me is they said, you're going to get this church. It's called Cunkel United Brethren Church. Here's the key. Call me if you need anything. And so we had to learn everything on our own. So you have this guy named Timothy, and he was having some issues in the church. There was some opposition of false theology that was going through the Ephesian church. And I want you to keep that in mind because this is important. False theology. Keep that important. So Paul is writing a letter to Timothy to encourage him and to share with him some practical things he needs to do as a leader of the church. So let's go to this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Timothy, my son, that gives you an idea how close they were. I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them you might fight the battle well. So here's, he has these prophecies, word from God that came to, through other people or somehow given to him, that you're going to be a pastor or a leader of a church. And what is he saying? Remember them. Remember them. That's key. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Holding on onto the faith and good conscience, which some of you have rejected. So he's saying most of you have held on to the faith, but some have rejected the faith. Some have rejected sound doctrine. Okay? And good conscience. And some have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. Stop there. Boy, isn't that something? Boy, if a pastor were to say that today, he'd go all over Facebook. How dare you do that to your own church people? You can't do that to your church people. That's not the loving thing to do. But what Paul was doing is he was handing them over to Satan to to be taught a lesson, not to blaspheme. Saying this is serious business we're talking about here. So here we have Timothy, and we have a person here that Paul introduces. And is actually the only time in Scripture that Paul uses the word Satan. So in the spiritual battle realm, we have a mighty adversary called Satan. Who is he? We know he was a created angel. We know he was one of the highest created angels, a cherub. We know that his pride is what led to his downfall. If I can say what the number one problem in the Christian church is in our own life is our own pride. Well, we're not willing to yield ourselves for the sake of God. If I go into churches and church conflict, I can almost guarantee there's pride in there somewhere where people are not willing to submit or to say, you know what, it really does not matter. But I'm holding on to it anyway because I have my will, my right, my way. There is evidence that Satan may have been involved in music in heaven. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13. There are some scholars that think that he was the choir director of heaven, who opposed the work of God. He opposes the work of God. Why? Because his pride got in the way. He wanted to be God. Keep that in mind. What is the sin that we deal with in our own lives? We want to be God of our own lives. We don't want anyone to tell us what to do, even if it's for our own benefit. We want to be God. What's the number one sin that happened? The first sin that happened. Adam and Eve, what was it? They wanted to be God. They saw the fruit. They saw it was going to be good. And they wanted to have the wisdom of God. They wanted to be just like him. So they took it. So that's the sin. And so that's actually the sin that Satan brings to us. That's the sin he had. That's the sin we have. Because we want to be in charge of our own lives. All right. Satan, then, because he's the great accuser, how does he attack us? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 through 20 uses a very interesting word here. He says, there are those who have rejected the faith, and there are those who are shipwrecked. Now this is important. Rejection of the faith. As I'm getting in my older years now, I am more and more convinced that we must teach sound doctrine in the church. We must teach you what the Bible says. We must teach you who God is. We have to do that because the number one recruiting area of the cults and the false religions in America is the American church. Do you know that? And the reason why they recruit from the church is because we might have a knowledge of the Bible or of doctrine, but we're not sound in it. So when they come in and they use words that are similar to ours, we then can very easily start to move towards them. I'm thinking of a cult right now that uses the word salvation. It uses the word Son of God. It uses all the words. Matter of fact, they sing the very hymns we sing. But when you get into their doctrine, it is so anti-God. It is essentially saying, and in their doctrine, they are actually saying that you someday, if you are good, you will be a god someday of your own planet. Now, can you please tell me where that's in Scripture? But there are pastors right now, they're saying, well, because they believe in Jesus Christ, it's okay. No! How many gods are there? One God. One God. One. So they rejected the faith. And we are in a society right now where we don't hold to sound doctrine. We hold to what feels good. And some of the sound doctrine of the church doesn't feel good. Just read the book of Romans. It doesn't feel good, but it's true. Then it makes a comment. He says, shipwrecking. Shipwrecking. Anybody remember what this is? the Costa Concordia, the worst passenger liner wreck that we've had, I believe, since the Titanic. I mean, with as many people, if not more, that had to be rescued. When you read the history and what led up to this, it's a fascinating thing. So here you have the captain of the ship that wanted to get close to the shore because they were having some festival. Some people are even saying that he had his girlfriend on the shore and he wanted to wave at her. I don't know if that's 100% true or not. But what he did is he veered off course. The course that he was supposed to stay on, he veered off. He even turned off the navigation computers and he turned off the sonar that would say, you are getting too close to the rocks. He had turned them off as well. And so then what happened is they went in and he hit the rock and the ship started to tilt and the rest is history. Everybody got off the ship except for 30 people. Two people were eventually found after the ship had been uprighted and salvaged. The sad part is while they were still doing rescue, the captain left the ship. This ship would not have gone down had they stayed on course. And what Paul is saying is, if you want to resist the attacks of the devil, stay on course. I know television says you're supposed to go left, but God says you're to go right. I know that Facebook says you're supposed to go left, but God says you're supposed to go right. I know that the people on Facebook are calling us all types of names. It's the most fascinating thing to see the intolerance of the tolerant that on Facebook. And yet, but God still says you remain going right. Even if all of society stands up and laughs and jeers at us, let me tell you something, we are to go right. Because that's the course that God has established for us. And if we want to remain true to the faith, we have to stay on course. If we want to go through the battles that the devil sends our way, we have to stay on course. That's the key. And so, he's saying, avoid the shipwrecks that are coming. Many churches are shipwrecking right now because they're not on the course that the Scripture has told them to stay on. And there's many Christians, same thing. Stay on course. So how should we fight the battle? Well, the first thing Paul says is, Timothy, remember. Remember. Remember who you are. I always think of the Lion King when I talk about that. You know, when Mufasa and Rafiki are together. Remember that part? And he goes, remember who you are. You know, and then he hits him over the head with a stick. You know, so I always think about that. Christians, we have to remember who we are. Timothy, you were prophesied over. You were told that God has chosen you. Remember that when things are tough. Remember who you are. Church, remember who you are. You are the bride of Christ. You are the ambassador of God. You are the body of Christ. You are the family of God. You are the hope of this earth. That's what the Scriptures say. And even though we might be attacked, remember who you are. Remember the authority that we have as the church and who you are. We also need to hold on to the faith. That's when the rubber hits the road, by the way. When your whole life seems like it's falling apart, you're going, wait a minute, I'm doing what God says, and yet, why is this happening to me? Am I sinning? Am I doing something wrong? No, you're living. We live in a fallen world. And as we live in a fallen world, understand that we're going to be dealing with issues. You're going to drive your car over a piece of debris in the road and it's going to give you a flat tire. It isn't because God's punishing you. It's because there's a piece of debris in the road. Just had a friend of mine die yesterday of cancer. I mean, welcome to a fallen world. and he was a missionary. Welcome to a fallen world. God wasn't punishing him. In fact, Christians, let's retrain our minds. He is now receiving his reward. So hold on to the faith. Be biblical. Trusting the truth of God's word is so important. I mean, can you imagine being this family? This is the family that lost 9 of their family members in that duck boat accident a couple weeks ago, or about a week, week and a half ago. 9 of those people are dead right now. How can you hold on to God in the midst of that? Well, sometimes that's all you can hold on to. And Paul is saying to Timothy, even when waters get rough and you want to go off, don't go off course. Remain true. Hold on to the faith. Trust God's word. Because if you really want to attack the devil, do something even more magnificent. Be holy. Have a good conscience. That's the greatest defeat of Satan. You know that. See, what the devil wants to do is he wants to destroy the church because he hates anything that resembles God. He wants to destroy you, and he wants to destroy... And if he can bring dishonor to the church, he knows he brings dishonor to God or a Christian or whatever. If he can bring dishonor to them, he's going to bring dishonor to God. So therefore, that's what he does. But when we choose to be holy, we choose to put God first in our lives, that's the greatest defeat that will ever come to Satan. Even if we lose 9 of our family members. A number of years ago, there was a church family that was killed in Illinois. We were driving an Astro. How many of you ever driven an Astro? Okay, so did I, yeah. Those things are neat. Only one problem. You hit debris in it, your gas tank erupts and kills your whole family in the car, with the exception of the driver and his wife and one other kid. You know, remember my last church that lived in Illinois at the time, that family went to his church. It's a godly family. Godly family. How do you hold on to that stuff? Even in the midst of that, we honor God. Job, when everything was taken away in his life, what did he do? Did he curse God and die? That's what his wife wanted him to do. No, what Job did is he worshiped and he praised God. So the word of God will not be dishonored. So the opponent of you will be put to shame. Live a godly life that even though they throw all these accusations against you, that eventually the truth will come out. And I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but I have many times. You're a pastor, you've got a target on you, people are looking at you, and people say all types of false things about you. It is part of the job, and if you're ever thinking about going into ministry, get used to it. It's like being a sheriff deputy. But the truth will come out eventually, and people watch how you handle it, and they say, here's a person that is really doing God's work. He really lived what he believed. That they will adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in every aspect. Because our job is to bring others to Christ. So how do we do this? Well, let me also share this. It is the responsibility of the church to protect you as well from Satan's attacks. The church body exercises its authority. Meaning, if there's false doctrine that comes into the church, if there's sin or anything else that comes into the church that's affecting the church, we have the right and the authority to stand up and say no more. Now, you have a choice at that point. It's called church discipline. If you don't know where it's at, read Matthew chapter 25. And we have that right and authority. Now you're saying, but you're telling me what to do. You have a choice. We're just telling you what God's word says. And so we see church discipline happening in this scripture passage where Hymenaeus and Alexander, Paul calls them out. And Paul says, I handed them over to Satan. Now you're saying, who are these people? I don't know. The only one I find again is Hymenaeus, and that's found in 2 Timothy. And what it says in 2 Timothy is that they have caused other people to reject the faith. So he might have been the leader of an opposition that was in the church. And what did he say? He says, I'm handing you over to Satan. Now, I don't know if any of you ever seen Satan work, but I'm going to tell you, when they hand people over to Satan, that's not a pretty thing. And what was the purpose of it? The purpose was not to punish. Really, a lot of times you read other parts in Scripture that says the purpose of church discipline and or handing them over to Satan is for them to repent and to come back into the fold. It's actually a loving thing to do. Hard to believe, but that's kind of what it is. I mean, think about this. Do you punish your kids? Yeah, why do you punish your kids? Because I love them. Right? What's the opposite of love? Oh, somebody got it right. We always think that the opposite of love is hate. The opposite of love is indifference, where you just don't care. All right. Hand him over to Satan for restoration and repentance. So, we see all this spiritual battle that's going on. We see what it's talking about. I gave you just the surface, because this is like a 2 or 3 or 4 sermon study that you just went through. But I want you also to remember this, because this is important. You're part of the Church of Jesus Christ, right? Guess what? We already won the battle. You know that? We're going to win the war. Because in Revelation chapter 10, chapter 20, verse 10, what does it say happens to the devil? And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet have already been thrown, and they will be tormented night and day. When? Forever. It'll be done. Where will the Church of Jesus Christ be? In heaven. With who? With God. What are we going to be doing? Worshiping. Forever and ever. When we breathe our last on this earth, we'll never die again. For those who know Jesus Christ, we will be in heaven forever and ever. And then we might sing a song like, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see God. A lot of stuff. But understand the battle is there. Hold on to the doctrine. Hold on to holiness. Hold on to the truth. And hold on to the promises that are given to us. Satan will lose. Let's pray. Father, we talked about a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. So, Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to bring this to mind when we need to know about it. Help us hold on to sound doctrine, because that's the key. We got to know what we believe. And let's hold on to it for when Satan attacks, so that we can just become strong in that. Guide us in all that we do. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.